Hi, it's Patrick Hutzel from IntensiveCareHotline.com, where we instantly improve the lives for families of critically ill patients in intensive care so that you can make informed decisions, have peace of mind, real power, real control, and so that you can influence decision-making fast, even if you're not a doctor or a nurse in intensive care. This is another episode of Your Questions Answered, and in last week's episode, I answered another question from one of my clients, Laura. Question last week was, my mom is in ICU for septic shock. Can she be weaned off the ventilator and be extubated? You can check out last week's question by clicking on the link below this video. In this week's episode of Your Questions Answered, I want to answer the next questions from one of my clients, Laura, as part of my one-on-one consulting and advocacy service. Laura's mom is in ICU for septic shock, and Laura is asking if her mom's current status is viable for a safe transfer to another hospital. So today's consulting session is, my mom is in ICU for septic shock. Why does the ICU team want her to be discharged? So today's one-on-one consulting session is excerpts from email consulting with me and Laura, and I'm going to read those emails out to you. So Laura writes, hi Patrick, it's Laura again. My mom's arterial blood gas is 33 CO2 and PO2 76. Today, 12:23, and I will send pictures off the monitor screen. Thanks from Laura. And just for your explanation, CO2 is carbon dioxide in the blood and PO2 is oxygen levels in the blood. Carbon dioxide of 33 is normal and oxygen levels of 76 in the arterial blood is normal as well. So here is my response to Laura. Thank you, Laura, for sending through the pictures and the arterial blood gas result. Please note the following. Your mum is on minimal ventilation support and might be able to come off the ventilator. She's on 40% of oxygen, a PEEP of 5 mm per mercury and a pressure support of 10 mm per mercury. Those are almost extubatable parameters, meaning your mum should be close to get extubated as long as she can follow commands and cough. And just for our viewers again, extubation means the removal of the breathing tube and the ventilator. So Laura, what's your mum's weight approximately? It's a very important question because that'll give me an idea how big her volumes need to be on the ventilator. It's often according to weight. The arterial blood gas is looking good. The only parameter needing to come down before extubation, again, which is the removal of the breathing tube, is the FiO2 or oxygen level. 40% from the ventilator is just about too high and ideally it should come down to 35% or less. I'm surprised they are taking arterial blood gases because on the monitor it doesn't indicate that your mum has an arterial line, so they can take ABGs from the arterial line. Do you also know what her chest x-ray shows? Does she have a chest infection or a pneumonia? So here is Laura's response. Hello Patrick, thanks for emailing me back. I believe her lungs are clear. The doctor showed me the chest x-ray of the lungs. She said they're okay. They took an ultrasound of her heart yesterday. I think it's okay. However, I haven't heard anything about the results. My mum's weight is like 70 kilograms and she's very edematous, especially her legs and her feet. I talked to the kidney doctor and I told him of our new resolve to save my mum, and he upped the Bumex and he said she's not a good candidate right now for dialysis, but we will have a meeting tomorrow for our goals and prospects regarding my mum going forward. She's getting a blood transfusion now as well. Thank you from Laura. And here is my response. Thank you, Laura, for your email. Yes, now that you are a member and that you've joined the membership, you will be able to keep the conversation with me going. The reason I asked for your mum's weight is to find out if her volumes on the ventilator are adequate. I assume you are referring to around 70 kilograms. Her volumes on the ventilator are around 340 mils, which may be too low for her weight. Ask the doctors about that. Other numbers look good. Bumex might help with reducing the swelling and edema. However, dialysis will remove fluids faster. Vumex might also damage the kidneys in the long run. Did they tell you why she's not a candidate for dialysis? Get some facts and don't just take the gospel. It's good that she had a blood transfusion. Do you know what blood she had? Red blood cells, platelets, or FFPs, which stands for fresh frozen plasma. I remember you saying her platelets were low. Also, are they still giving her albumin? What about the Levofed or norepinephrine? Is it still running? As far as the meeting is concerned, if you want me to, I can be there over the phone. Make sure the goals of care that you want for your mom as her advocate and medical power of attorney are going to be met. You now have literature that you can refer to as far as end-of-life decision-making is concerned. The law is on your side. Anything less could be perceived as murder. Here is Laura's response. Hi, Patrick. She was on 1 micrograms of Levo. Now Levo is off. Her blood pressure is 95 over 50 with a mean arterial blood pressure of 70. She's breathing on her own today with minimal support of the machine. Also, same yesterday, they hooked her back up last night so she can rest. I talked to the kidney doctor. I told him we are being proactive with all the procedures to save her life. He ordered double Vumex at 1 micrograms per minute. She received type O positive blood. I went to lunch and now I'm back. It's not there anymore. Her urine output is low as well as the nephrostomy bag urine is low as well. The kidney doctors acted like she's not a good candidate for dialysis right now. I will have to talk further about that soon. We're supposed to have a meeting with our goals and prospects tomorrow. The kidney doctor asked what our goal was. I said to bring her back to baseline and bring her to her home. I have a professional hospital bed I bought already waiting. Also, my mum responds to commands. She lifted both arms and opens her eyes. She's very weak though. No feeding tube as it was not processing the food. Blood pressure now is 93 over 44 with a mean arterial blood pressure of 64. Thank you so much for all your help. I also forget to mention this update. The kidney doctor ordered a kidney ultrasound and now she's off the Levo. Now has dopamine 2 micrograms and the blood pressure reading is 106 over 51 with a mean arterial blood pressure of 74. She's still breathing on her own with minimal support for the day. Thank you from Laura. Here is my response. Hi, Laura. Yes, she was on, I understand she was on Levo and now the Levo is off and now she's on dopamine. And that's a good thing because dopamine specifically works on the kidneys, but I'll come to that later. Coming to the ventilation picture you sent me, yes, she was breathing on minimal support on ventilation in the picture. She's very close to extubation, which again is the removal of the breathing tube, according to the numbers on the ventilator that you sent me through. Also, another question that I have, why have they given her red blood cells? Most likely because the hemoglobin is low. Find out how low the hemoglobin was and why they think it has dropped. Most likely because of her bilirubin being high and your mum being jaundiced. But please find out and get the facts. It's also likely that with the red blood cells being transfused, that this was one of the reasons why they were able to stop the norepinephrine or the Levo. Then you were saying in your email that your mum's urine output is low as well, and also the nephrostomy urine output is low. The kidney doctor acted like she's not a candidate for dialysis right now. So it's very positive that she's more alert and following commands, like you also mentioned. If she can't tolerate food, she needs to have TPN or total parenteral nutrition, which is also known as intravenous nutrition. She needs it ASAP. Again, withholding nutrition is medical negligence in my mind and doesn't help your mum's recovery. So, also, Laura, dopamine, as I mentioned before, is often being used for kidney support only. If you look at the blood pressure with 106 over 51 now, the number in brackets is actually the most important number because the mean arterial pressure in brackets is 74. If that mean arterial pressure drops below 65, the risk that the kidneys are not going to be perfused properly is very high, and therefore urine output drops. Urea and creatinine, which are the kidney markers, usually rise. Let me know if you don't know anything about urea and creatinine, and I will explain it to you. Again, Laura, dopamine is usually specifically used to increase the number in brackets, also known as mean arterial blood pressure. The aim when weaning somebody off ventilation is to keep them, quote unquote, dry. Hence, fluids need to be kept off the lungs in order to enable extubation and the removal of the breathing tube. Quote unquote, wet lungs work against extubation, which is the removal of the breathing tube. Also, the number 51 in the blood pressure suggests that your mum is a little bit dry, which is probably not a bad thing. I know you are saying she's very edematous. However, it sounds like this is a result of low albumin and probably low hemoglobin as well. Just because she's edematous doesn't necessarily mean her lungs are wet. The minimal ventilation support and the arterial blood gas are looking good. Next, get the nutrition going. Your mum will need that strength. Don't let them starve her. I hope this helps. Let me know what you need next. Here is Laura's response. Hi Patrick, I have an urgent request. The intensivist in ICU is telling me we have 2 hours to take my mum out of this hospital, providing no policy. I'm calling around to try to get her in other hospitals. My mum's info on pressure support only for ventilation, norepinephrine 14 micrograms and vasopressin 0.4. She's making more urine today. Bumex is at 1 milligram per hour. They're still threatening us that in 2 hours they will do comfort measures and discharge her. The charge nurse finally gave me the hospital policy. The charge nurse here said we could sign for hospice and put a DNR in place, pull her off the ventilator and blood pressure supports, then en route home, tell the ambulance driver I changed my mind and code status to full code or go to another hospital. I don't think I can find a doctor to admit her to another hospital where we want to go. Well, I spoke with a kidney doctor and he showed me that my mum's bilirubin levels are going up and I guess the stent isn't working in her case. The bilirubin is 17.1. The bulky lymph nodes are probably pressing on small bile ducts and they're not draining. This is a new piece of the puzzle that wasn't explained well to me, so here we are. I appealed with Medicare to buy time. What do you think? Hi Laura. There's a small chance that removing life support, sending her home and en route send her to another hospital might work. It might not, and then it would be too late for your mum. I would not sign a DNR. Push them for continuation of treatment. I can talk to them as well. Have you reminded them about the state law in Minneapolis? If you want to talk to me on the phone, we can do so now. So, hi Laura. It was great talking to you a moment ago. Just find a quick summary from our phone call. Number one, ask to buy time for a second opinion, that it might take you some time to find a doctor providing a second opinion because of the Christmas holidays. Get a meeting. Number two, get a meeting with the doctors and the nurses to discuss and get the resolution regarding the conflict. Number three, contact the Supreme Court for an injunction. I would be very happy to be in the meeting over the phone if you get to a meeting. Also, start using stronger language with the team and use language such as murder and they're killing your mum. Furthermore, appeal to their faith and religion and ask them not to remove life support on Christmas Day. Let me know what you need next. Here is Laura's response. Hi Patrick, the main doctor in ICU has a doctor here to get my mum a second opinion. Should I accept or should I wait to find my own doctor? Thanks from Laura. And before I was even able to respond, Laura had sent another message. She said, hi Patrick, well, I went ahead and spoke with Dr. Kurt, the second opinion doctor. Actually, I feel pretty good talking with him because he said some things that might buy us time. Number one, he's independent. Please see the business card that I send in the email. Number two, he said we can order an ultrasound of the abdomen. I think to check flow of mesh stent bilirubin. Number three, he said she may be a candidate for transfer to LTAC, but we would have to state limited code, meaning no chest compressions. Number four, he said no tracheostomy until she's off the vasopressors and inotropes. Creatinine is 3.38, white cell count is 28. The right kidney is okay, left kidney has stone in ureter, I guess it's not obstructing. Number seven, he said TPN is not safe right now because of bilirubin levels. Many thanks. Hi Laura, I'm very pleased that you managed to get a second opinion that you feel okay with. It's all about buying time for now. I believe an ultrasound of the abdomen is absolutely necessary. I would go as far as CT scan of the abdomen. Ask for both. Bilirubin level is sky high with 17. With bilirubin so high, there is also a risk that hemoglobin is remaining low. If hemoglobin is low, the likelihood for a higher dose of Levofed or norepinephrine and therefore life support. You mentioned a few days ago your mom had a unit of red blood cells one day after the Levofed was off. This may not have been coincidental, but a direct result of replacing red blood cells via transfusion. The signs are there that Levofed and vasopressin went back on due to the sepsis. However, an untreated low hemoglobin will not help your mum either. Second, agreed that your mum might be a candidate for LTAC if she can get through this. She would need to be off inotropes and vasopressors such as the Levofed or vasopressin to be able to go to LTAC. Generally speaking, I'm not in favor of LTAC. In your mum's situation, going to LTAC might be a good thing. If she can improve, we can talk more about LTAC when the time is right. We can talk about the pros and cons. Next, I don't agree that tracheostomy can only be done after your mum has come off the inotropes and vasopressors. Many patients in ICU have tracheostomies whilst being on high doses of inotropes and vasopressors, such as Levofed or vasopressin. Also, creatinine is through the roof and white cell count shows clear signs of infection and sepsis. Normal white cell count is 4 to 11 and your mum's is 28. What is the urea level? Next, TPN can cause a faster breakdown of bilirubin. However, I have found no literature that suggests that TPN can't be given with high bilirubin. Ask him how they want to get your mother's strength back without nutrition. Also, given that he's an intensivist, he should almost get his own GI doctor in for a second opinion to look at the underlying abdominal issues causing all of this. Keep them on their toes. So this was today's consulting and advocacy session with me and Laura. So, how can you become the best advocate for your critically ill loved one? How can you make informed decisions, get peace of mind, control, power, and influence quickly whilst your loved one is critically ill in intensive care? You will get to that all-important feeling of making informed decisions, get peace of mind, control, power, and influence when you download your free instant impact report now by entering your email below. In your free instant impact report, you will learn quickly how to make informed decisions, get peace of mind, real power and real control, and how you can influence decision making fast whilst your loved one is critically ill in intensive care. Your free instant impact report gives you in-depth insight that you must know whilst your loved one is critically ill or is even dying in intensive care. Sign up and download your free instant impact report now by entering your email below. In your free instant impact report, you will learn how to speak the secret intensive care language so that the doctors and the nurses know straight away that you are an insider and that you know and understand what's really happening in intensive care. In your free report, you will also discover how to ask the doctors and the nurses the right questions. Discover the many competing interests in intensive care and how your critically ill loved one's treatment may depend on those competing interests. How to eliminate fear, frustration, stress, struggle, and vulnerability even if your loved one is dying. You will get 5 mind-blowing tips and strategies helping you to get on the right path. to making informed decisions, get peace of mind, control, power, and influence in your situation. You will get real-world examples that you can easily adapt to your and your critically ill loved one's situation. How to stop being intimidated by the intensive care team and how you will be seen as equals. You will get crucial behind-the-scenes insight so that you know and understand what's really happening in intensive care and how you need to manage doctors and nurses in intensive care, and it's not what you think. Thank you for tuning into this week's Your Questions Answered episode, and I'll see you again next week in another update. Make sure you also have a look at our blog section for more tips and strategies, and you can also send me an email to support@intensivecarehotline.com with your questions. Also, have a look at our membership site, intensivecaresupport.org, for families of critically ill patients in intensive care. You can also call me. Find phone numbers on the top of the website. Also, have a look at our ebook section, and you can also get one-on-one consulting and advocacy with me over the phone, via Skype, and via email by clicking on the relevant tabs on the top of the website. This is Patrick Hutzel from intensivecarehotline.com, and I'll see you again next week in another update.